So, all started back in May of 2014 when Dallas ISD adopted a local teacher appraisal process called the TEI, Teacher Excellence Initiative. This local appraisal process included as one portion of it student test score data. Now, most of you recognize that that data is not available during the school year. It's not available until after the school year is over. And because of that, the teacher's final ratings were not actually provided to the teacher until the fall of the subsequent school year. In other words, they weren't provided at the end of the school year, like most teachers get their appraisals. They didn't get their final ratings until the fall of the subsequent school year. It's also important that the scorecards were important because it was the scores on these scorecards that determined the teacher's compensation for that next year. When the district adopted the TEI, they did a couple of things. First, they published a TEI guidebook. They did that in May of 2014. These dates, again, are going to be important. And they conducted teacher training in the TEI in August of 2014. Both the training and the guidebook noted that the scorecards were not going to be received until the fall of the subsequent school year. Now, I will say that in the appeals process, the teachers brought up an issue about whether the notice that this was going to happen was really sufficient or not. The court did not address that issue. There was no fact question. And what the court did in its decision based on, whether the notice was sufficient or not. As you'll see, the court actually assumed that the notice was sufficient. So the teachers received their scores for the 2014-15 school year in September of 2015. They filed a grievance. A group of teachers filed a grievance within the district's timeline of when they received their scores. In that grievance, they claimed, amongst other things, but the important thing for this Supreme Court decision, was that the TEI violated the Texas Education Code, including the argument that the district had not provided scores until the subsequent school year. Now, again, filed the grievance, went through the district's grievance process. At every level in the district's grievance process, the district dismissed the grievance, arguing that it was not timely, saying that, look, you had notice, knew or should have known, that you weren't going to receive the scorecards until subsequent school year back in 2014. And this is 2015. It's been over a year for that. So the district denied the grievance. At the local level, the teachers appealed to the Commissioner of Education under Section 7.057. The commissioner agreed with the school district that the grievance was untimely, and based on longstanding precedent from the Commissioner of Education, dismissed the grievance, saying that the teachers had failed to completely exhaust their administrative remedies at the local level. Teachers appealed that to the district court. District court upheld the commissioner's decision. Teachers appealed to the appeals court. At the appeals court, the court sort of split the baby. They upheld some of the dismissal, but they reversed and remanded regarding others. I'm not going to get into how they split the baby for a couple of reasons. Number one, don't have enough time to do that. Number two, again, what's important for us now is what the Supreme Court did regarding this matter. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on now. But the important thing regarding that was, again, dismissed some, reversed and remanded some. Nobody was happy. Everybody appealed to the Texas Supreme Court, and the Texas Supreme Court accepted the case. So what was the court dealing with in accepting this case? I think there's three things. First of all, does the Commissioner of Education have jurisdiction over an appeal even if the grievance was untimely? Second, if that is a question, if it is important whether a grievance is timely or not, who gets to decide whether or not a grievance is timely? Finally, does the ripeness doctrine apply to grievances and commissioner appeals? Now, those of you out there who haven't heard of the ripeness doctrine before, or haven't heard of it since law school. It'd been a while for me, I will tell you, before I started researching this. I will explain what we mean when I talk about the ripeness doctrine. I will tell you there will be answers, because again, the Supreme Court did make some very conclusive decisions regarding this case. So let's get right into what the Supreme Court did. Does the commissioner have jurisdiction over a 7.057 appeal of an untimely grievance? A grievance that, again, district has held was not filed within their time frames. The answer to that question is yes. And here is where we're going to start seeing what the court actually said. Now, before that, I was going to forget this slide. Before that, probably anybody who's been dealing with these issues before probably knows the history, that the commissioner has generally dismissed cases where, again, it has been decided at the local level that a grievance was filed after the timelines under the local level, and like I said before, citing the failure to exhaust administrative remedies for that. Section 7.057, since that's what we're talking about here, I wanted to give you a moment to see what it is that we are talking about, what the statute actually says, because it's going to be important to know what the statute says, because the Supreme Court spends a lot of time in its statutory construction of this. What's important to us now is subsection A. You can appeal to the commissioner under subsection 2, action or decisions of a school board, district board of trustees that either violate school laws of the state or violate a contract that results in monetary harm. So.